I guess the sheep's prayer, and of course we are considered the sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd, and so we're basically praying through the Psalm 23, and we saw that the Lord is my shepherd, and so of course when we're praying, we ought to thank Him for being our shepherd, and of course He was our Savior, and then He's also now our shepherd. He leads us, He guides us, He protects us, and all the things that a shepherd does. And of course, we can say He's my shepherd, collectively. And then we saw, last week we saw He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And so, of course, we saw that He did that for several different reasons. One, He took us to the green pastures, the new growth, the ones that had the most nutrients and that would taste the best and things like that. And then of course He sometimes had us lay down. He maketh me to lie down in those green pastures, maybe down deeper in the grass, so the enemy, wolves or anything that would want to devour a sheep could not see them. And so He maketh us to do that. And we saw that. So then tonight we're in the next phrase, and the next phrase is that He leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me beside still waters. And of course, done some studying on this and things like that. We're going to bring out some, just like we have where He was my shepherd and I shall not want. In other words, if your ways please Him, He gives you the desires of your heart. So if you're right with God and doing what God wants you to do, He's going to give you everything that you need. Maybe not everything that our minds might want, but He's going to give us. And then now we see here He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. And now we see here tonight He leadeth me beside still waters. So we'll have some open, introductory statements, a few other verses that we'll read, and then we'll get into the outline. And so here's the introductory statement. It says here, He leadeth me. That means that He's out front. There's a few things that I've led. I've led a horse. And there's some horses that they want to run off, and so you have to hold them back. There's some horses that want to lock their legs, and they don't want to go, so you have to pull them. But it's a whole lot easier to lead than to push. I've led horses up into horse trailers before, and again, the ones that know how and not scared and not freaking out, they just lead right up in there. The other ones, they get scared and they lock their legs, and of course you have to get behind and try to help, a little bit of encouragement maybe some food up in there. And I remember my granddad, that was the only way, he tried to push and pull and things like that, and so he just basically put some feed out there up in the front of the horse trailer and tied the horse there and just left. And he looked out there the first day, the horse hadn't eaten, hadn't gotten up in there. He left him out there. Next day, I'm not sure how many days, but the horse finally got hungry enough that he knew the food was up there. He walked up in there, and he went in ever since. And so, but leading means that you're out front. You're leading the way. You're not pushing. You're not saying, hey, you just go over there, and I'm going to rest over here. No, you're leading. You're out front. So the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside still waters. He's going before us. And so last week we saw that He knew right where those green pastures were. He knew which ones had produced new growth and things like that. Why? Because He created them. Same thing here. He leads us to the still waters. Why? Because He's the one that made the waters. And the Bible says that it was all there, and he spoke, and He moved waters over here and over here and over here and made some firmament and land to come up in between it and so forth. And He did all that. So again, He can lead us to them because He knows right where they are. He's not just flying by the seat of His robe. He's not just guesstimating. He's not just saying, well, let's just go ahead and see how this works out. No, He knows. And so He's leading. And so what He wants us to do is keep our eyes on Him. And of course, I have led some dogs, and I used to raise Labradors and sell them. And of course, the ones that I owned, I would teach them to retrieve. I would teach them to sit, and I would teach them to stay, and I would teach them to heal. And some of them are very aggressive, especially the younger they are, and they want to smell everything, they want to chew everything, I was obviously read books, watched videos, things like that, and I would keep this hand right here close to me and make the dog, and I would say, heel, 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 heel. So they know where my heel was. But then I would take this hand and I would take the lead rope and I would spin it around, almost like a propeller. And so if they got ahead of that, that would pop them on the nose. And they would back up and they would hear that. And I would say, heel. And I would put a little pressure. And consistently, and you do it, and you're teaching them to be able to be led. And things like that. Obviously, you know, I've seen people going down the sidewalk and you hear that famous statement, who's leading who? All right, who's taking who for a walk? Bah! My dog's taking me for a run, much less a walk. So same thing here. The Bible says that he leadeth us. So let him be out front. Don't try to get on the other side. Don't try to run away from him. Don't try to pull him. But just stay right there, submissive, and let him lead. And to keep our eyes on him. And again, that's what an animal that you train, that's what they do. They, you know, you snap your fingers, or you blow a whistle, or you slap your hand, or you say a command, and their eyes are right on there. And so that's what he's saying here. These sheep, if they're going to be led by the shepherd, they're going to have to keep their eyes on the shepherd. Number two statement. Let us look at the finish line. Look at the finish line. Not at the others in the race, nor anything else that would distract us from the race. And of course, the Bible says that we have a race to run. And it tells us, I'll paraphrase here, to lay aside any weight that would hinder us, and that besetting sin that would hinder us. In other words, God says, get rid of that. Why? Because you have a race to run. But Hebrews 12:2, I will read you this one. It says here, looking unto Jesus, the author. So he's the one that authored this. He created us. He created the green pastures. He created the still waters. He authored that. But then it says here, and the finisher of our faith. We're going to have faith in the shepherd. The Bible says anything that we do that is not of faith is sin. So the only way to not sin basically is to keep our eyes on the shepherd and have faith in him. That, okay, I'm going to let you lead. I'm not going to yank you. I'm not going to pull you. I'm not going to try to run away from you. I'm submitting unto you. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's what they teach you. I ran track in high school, and I guess junior high and high school. And one of the things was, you look at the finish line. And one of the biggest things was, don't look at anybody else that's in the race. All right? Because if you're doing this while you're running, first of all, you can't run as fast. Second of all, you're probably going to trip and biff. All right, and face plant, whatever you want to call it. Why? Because, and that's, that's in our brain. If I'm in a race, I want to beat these people. The goal is to win first place. And so, if you're looking, and the coach will say, don't you do it. Don't you look at anybody. Don't worry about it. You just look at the finish line. And that's kind of like the Christian life. The Bible tells us not to compare, not to covet our neighbor's wife, stuff. You don't worry about them. You worry about you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So if the shepherd's going to lead us to the finish line, we need to keep our eyes on him. And don't look. And then it talks about those distractions out there that doth hinder us. Maybe that's a sin. Don't look at it. Maybe that's a weight. Not necessarily a sin, but it's slowing me down from my race. So I'm going to lay that aside and not let it hinder me. So we see that in this principle here, he's out front. He's leading. We're supposed to keep our eyes on him and let him lead. And so he wrote it. He's the author. And so he wants to complete it. He knows what he's doing when he's leading us. The next statement is this. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where the still waters are because he authored it. He created it. And he knows exactly what he's doing. So when he goes first, he will come to the danger and will be able to take care of it, or at least point it out and help us navigate. Okay, so sometimes if that shepherd's up there and he sees something that might hinder or hurt the sheep, he might just take care of it. And so I would rather be right with God, with his blessings on me, and so he might be able to just take care of anything that might hurt me or hinder me. Or I trust him enough, and the Bible talks about him holding my hand. It talks about him guiding me. It talks about the Holy Spirit, all the things that we have promised. And I'm going to allow that, because sometimes that danger, he didn't take Jonah away from the danger. He was with him during the danger. He didn't take the danger away from the three Hebrew children, but he was with them in that danger. He didn't take Daniel away from Daniel. He didn't take Paul and all that was traveling with him. He let them come safely through on broken pieces. So sometimes he doesn't remove the danger, but he'll go through the danger with us. And what, didn't we put three men in the fire? Behold, I see four walking around, and they're not even hurt. And so, again, why? Because the shepherd, he will either take care of the danger, or he will point it out and say, hey, if you'll just watch me, here, hold my hand. You step where I say step. You go as fast as I, you slow as I say. Whatever I say, we'll get through. And so we see that the shepherd, he will take care of us through the travels. So the shepherd knows all and sees all. It's kind of like that chorus. You may have heard it. Maybe you haven't heard it. But it says this, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for the day is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. Then it says that again, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. So all I have to do is follow. So everything is on the shepherd's shoulders. It's not up to the sheep to beat anything or outrun anything or win anything. All I got to do is keep my eyes on the shepherd and just follow him. Why? Because he knows the way through the wilderness. So some have no sense of direction. Now, I know some people do and some people don't. And again, you can be standing there and they'll say, yeah, and they'll point and you'll be like if I said, okay, Taylorsville, downtown Taylorsville is right over there. You'd be like, it's behind you there, moron. And you just don't have a sense of direction. Some they do. They'll look at the sun. It rises in the east and settles in the west, and then it's okay. They have a little bit, but some people they just don't have a sense of direction, and so forth. So these sheep, that's the way they were. The sheep didn't have a compass. And if they could, they couldn't hold it and they couldn't read it. The sheep didn't have a map. They didn't have, nowadays people don't even know what a compass or a map is. What do we depend on? GPS. You can even get walking directions. All right. And even if you're not in your vehicle, you can say, where's this house or where's this store? Walking directions and so forth. So GPS. But at least, back in the day, people would tell you how to get there. Now, what you're going to do is, you're going to go down here, and there's this big tree. It's got a fork in the top, and there's this red barn that's fallen down. And you go up there, and you turn immediately left. I can't remember the name of the road or the number, but right there by that red barn, turn left. And so they would give you directions. And so that's what the shepherd is to do away with. Just keep your eyes on the shepherd. He will follow. So we don't have a sense of spiritual direction in our own way, but we need to follow the shepherd. And so the shepherd has given us some things that will help us. It's kind of like this. All right? God has given us a conscience. And that conscience is there to keep us away from danger. And of course, if you've ever been around sheep, they're very skittish. Right? God put it in there. And so they're, ooh. Now, I don't know about their sense of smell. Some animals, man, they can smell you 3 days, they've been by here 3 days ago. I'm not going over there. And so forth. But we see here that conscience, we get that uneasy feeling. And I don't know if it's Jiminy Cricket or the Holy Spirit of God or our brain. We just have that, I sense danger. And so God did that. Then he also, he allows us to learn from correction. In other words, the conscience will help us from the danger. What that correction will help us from deviation. Okay, last time I stepped over here, I got whacked by that staff. So I've learned from correction to not deviate. And again, some of us, we have made mistakes. Why? Because of the lack of conscience or the lack of direction. And we just bullheaded and went and did this. And maybe we've learned. I need to correct this. Maybe I'm not supposed to be so mean, or maybe I'm not supposed to be so dogmatic, or maybe I'm not, supposed to be a bull in a china shop. Maybe I just need to listen and keep my eyes on the shepherd. And why? Because we made a big old mistake. I know I have. And so I corrected that, or the Lord helped me correct that, not to deviate. No, don't let that come back. So we see here conscience keeps us from danger. We learn correction, that keeps us from deviation. Here we see that if we do follow that shepherd, as the sheep follow that shepherd, not only did they have the conscience and the correction, but they had that cool water. Sometimes those sheep are just walking and they're looking at the shepherd like, dude, when are we going to get there? I'm parched. I am dry as a desert. I need it. And then there it is, and they take that big old drink. And so we see conscience, danger, correction, deviation, cool water, delight. So they remember, last time I was following the long ways. And last time I kept my eyes on Him. I didn't deviate. I remember I learned from my mistakes and I paid attention to my conscience. And then when I got there, finally, I was... And it was so good. It was delightful. So we see that God gives us a choice. We can either follow or stand there in the wilderness looking confused and scared. And it's up to the sheep. He's going to do that. So we see here, like a sheep, we can be stubborn. I know, I don't have a problem with stubbornness. I'm sure you don't either. I'm just kidding. But we see here, we can either be stubborn and determined, which is not a bad thing. God put that in us. In other words, people might try to get me to not believe in God. No, I'm stubborn. And I'm determined that I am going to believe in God. We're not even talking about how I got there, but we use that stubbornness. Do the right thing or do the wrong thing. Oh, I'm going to be stubborn about this and determined to do the right thing. Why? Because I know what it brings. It brings God's blessing. So we have that stubborn and that determination in there. But what God wanted those sheep to be stubborn about and determined about, no, you can bow all day long. I'm keeping my eyes on Him. No, you can make fun of me all day long, but I'm just going to keep my eyes on Him. I'm going to be determined to do that. So we see that like a sheep, we ought not be stubborn and determined to say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it when I want to do it. I'm going to do it where I want to do it. And I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And so that's what the devil wants us to do. Is be stubborn and determined about those facts. And I'll read those again. I'm going to do what I want, not what the shepherd wants. I'm going to do it when I want. I don't care if he's got a staff. I don't care if he's trying to lead me. I'm going to do it when I want to do it. And I'm not going to that watering hole. I like this one over here, so I'm going to do it where I want to do it. And then I'm not going to drink still water. I'm going to go over there where it's rushing by, because that's the way I want to do it. So we see that we can be stubborn. But what God wants us to do is say, hey, I'm going to let the shepherd lead where he wants, when he wants, and I'm going to do it the way he wants, and how much he wants, things like that. And so we see here the way, that is the most safe and most enjoyable way. And so the prayer of that sheep, when we're talking about this principle, should say something like this. Lord, when I am lost in the wilderness, when I'm in the valley that is dark, when trouble overwhelms me, let me feel your presence. So in other words, if I'm supposed to keep my eyes on the shepherd, but sometimes I get lackadaisical or I'll start wondering and all of a sudden there's wolves and there's danger and there's like, oh my goodness, what have I done? Help me see you quickly. Help me to get my eyes back on you fast. And so then it says here, Lord, when I don't know which way to go, which way to turn, when I'm confused, I don't have that sense of spiritual direction, I can't find my way, please guide me to the green pastures and the cool water. So this is the prayer. I know that there's besetting sins. I know there's weights that will keep me from running my race, but I want to keep my eyes on the author and the finisher of my faith. Lord, please help me do that. Next statement was this. Lord, there are dangers in my future, some that I know about, others that I may not know about that I'm going to encounter. Lead me to those pastures and to that water and protect me from the evil one. So this is the prayer of the sheep in Psalm 23 that we should do. So we see here the nature of the shepherd. The nature. It's just our nature. Some people they're kind by nature. Some people are mean by nature. So again, the kind by nature, obviously, thank you, Lord, for helping me be that way. Lord, help it not to go to my head. Help me to use it for your benefit and your glory. The person that's mean by nature, Lord, sorry. Forgive me for that. Lord, help me to think more like you and be more like you, things like that. So we have to battle it. But the shepherd's nature is the care for the sheep. We see that the Bible tells us that he laid down his life for the sheep. That's what a good shepherd did. And he is the good shepherd. And he laid down his life for the sheep. His care, 24/7, 365, throughout eternity, what he's focused on is us and our care. And so he's just saying, hey, I'm just trying to lead you. I want the best for you. I'm trying to lead you to some cool, clear water. So the shepherd doesn't stand in a general area and yell out direction. Hey, go over there. All right, see you. Good luck. No. He doesn't just get in a general area. He's got dotted every I and crossed every T and direct all the way down to that still water. Where it's not even rippling over water, over rocks. He knows exactly what he's doing. So he doesn't just get us in that area and start yelling out. So God loves us, and all he wants us to do is say, follow me, and you will have satisfying water. We see the shepherd does not push their heads into the water. So when they finally get there, they've kept their eyes on the shepherd. The shepherd's taken care of all the evil. They've gotten to the cool, clear water. And so they get there. So then he doesn't go around and grab the sheep by the back of the nape of the neck and start shoving their heads down in the water. He doesn't do that. He just leads them to the water. He doesn't go around and scoop up a little handful and go over there to their little nose and hold it up there and say, here, drink. He doesn't do that. He doesn't have little bowls with their name on it. Sheep 1, sheep 2, sheep 3, or Fluffy and, the black sheep. He didn't have their little identified bowls that he passes out. No, he just leads them to the water. So same thing with us. He leads us to the prayer closet. He's not going to pray for us. He leads us to church. He leads us to the Bible. He leads us to salvation. He leads us to all those places. But he says, look, being saved is up to you. You've got to ask for salvation. Praying your prayers, up to you. You've got to pray your prayers. Reading the Bible, I'm not going to force feed it. It's there. You have to do it. So we see the shepherd does not push their heads, nor scoop the water, nor pass out their little monogram bowls. But he does bring them to the water. So we see here, you can't lead the proverbial horse to water and make him drink. We have, some of us have had kids that maybe didn't like certain foods. Bless God, you're going to clean your plate, or we're just going to sit here all night long. All right, or you're not going to watch cartoons, or you're not going to get to do this unless you do it. And you're trying to make them. You even do the open the mouth of airplanes coming in, and you try to make it fun. Again, God just says, here's the water. I'm not going to make you drink it. I led you to it, but I'm not going to make you drink it. So how does the shepherd lead the sheep? And here's the outline. Number one, first, he leads them slowly. And some people that are fast at everything, they eat fast, they drink fast, they go to work fast, they drive fast, everything. Fast. All right. Shepherd's not like that. Well, he just needs to get with it. All right. And what we got to realize is that everybody can't go fast. There may have been some younger sheep there that were muscular sheep and some good in shape sheep. But if they were going so fast, there would be a lot left out. So God's going to go slow enough for everybody. So we're going to look at a couple things here. First of all, this helps the young ones. Okay? When a kid's really young, parents can outrun them. Okay? But then it seems like they change places. Okay? But at first, God's going to say, look, I'm going to go slow enough that all the kids. And so praise the Lord, back there, Miss Sharon's taking it and going a little bit slower than I am, making it a little bit more applicable to them, where they can swallow it and things like that. Why? Because those kids, God's concerned. So the little baby sheep, hey, you young bucks that want to go fast, you just might as well get it in your head. We're going slow. Why? Because I love all those little baby sheep back there too. And they need to come. And that's why the Bible says, that there ought to be baby Christians. And, us older Christians ought not look down our Pharisaical nose and say, well, if you just hurry up and grow, you know, you might can keep up with us. That's what he's saying. Hey, I love all the sheep. All right, the baby ones that go slow. And here's some. The reason that Jesus goes slow is for not only the young sheep, but for the old sheep. Some of us older sheep are getting slower. Okay, we're shrinking. It's, you know, my hair's, you know, growing this way instead of this way now. And this is, you know, anyway, you get older and you get slower. But God's like, hey, I love the sheep that's given their life to me. And I'm not gonna go so fast that they can't keep up. I'm gonna take care of them. And that's why we have the Good Samaritan story. We have verses in the Bible that says, despise not your mother when she's old. We have honor and respect and glory that goes to those older people. And we ought to appreciate them and say, look, they're just as important as me. I could go a lot faster, but the old ones need it too. So we see the shepherd is going to lead slowly for the young ones and for the old ones. And here's one, for the injured ones. For the injured ones. There's some Christians out here today that's been done wrong. And I mean, it's ripped their hearts out. It's done, you know, it's hurt, this, that, and the other. And God's like, hey, look, I love you too. And you might be limping, but we're going to go slow enough that you can come to. Right? So the shepherd's going to lead slow. It's not about a marathon. It's not about, I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint. That's the Christian life. We are to run a race, but it's not a 50-yard dash. It's a 70-plus year run. And he said, look, I'm going to lead you, but we're not going to go supersonic speed. We're going to go day by day. We're going to go step by step. We're going to go from prayer closet to prayer closet. We're going to go from church service to church service. We're just going to go slow. Why? Because I love everybody. I love the little baby sheep. I love the old sheep. I love the injured sheep. And again, you know, I remember this. When I was little, I couldn't keep up. Oh, it frustrated me. But then what they call those prime years, you know, 18 to, you know, 28, maybe 30 if you were in good shape, and you could lift stuff and you could run and you could go all day. But then you start. So what God's saying is, if I go slow, the little ones can come, the old ones can come, the hurt ones can come, and those little ones that think they got it all together can just chill and come too. All right? So we see that Jesus could outdistance us. I mean, he could just think and he's at somewhere else. I mean, goodness gracious. But he's very easy and does everything decently in order, the Bible says, methodically. And he's perfect. And we're not, but he knows that. So we see here that he goes slow enough and holds our hands enough so we don't slip. There's a whole lot of verses that talk about that. I'll read you one of them. It says here in Psalm 91:12, they shall bear thee up. Talking about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. They, all that, shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And so God's saying, look, I'm going to lead slow enough so that everybody's taken care of. And if you need me to, I'll hold your hand. And you know, when your kid's little, and they're scared of everything, boy, they want it. But then what do they start doing? They start trying to, I can do it. They try to pull it away. And so then when we get older, we have to have help again. So we see that he says, look, if you'll just let me hold your hand, you won't even dash your foot against the stone. And if you've ever stubbed your toe, that's about the most painful thing that can happen. Like, I'd almost rather break my arm than to stub my pinky toe. And you stub your pinky toe on something at home, and it's less like, you know, lets you know. But God says, hey, the shepherd will hold your hand so you don't even dash your foot against the stone. So he walks slow enough so we can see him. He's not like, where'd he go, where'd he go, where'd he go? No, he's just going to be right there. Somebody's too fast, you're trying to keep up, you can try, and he just gets further and further and further away. Like, I just can't keep up. No, the shepherd's going to lead slow enough where he's going to be right there. We can see him. Why? Because he wants us to be near to him. That's why he created Adam. And he came in the cool of the day. Adam, right? He wanted the fellowship. And so that's why he said, look, I'm going to go slow enough that we can just fellowship as we're going. He wants us to be near to Him. He wants to be near to us. Why? So He can protect us and keep us safe. So, we see here the sheep may be hungry and thirsty. And it says here, but it is because they're not following the shepherd. And they may, it says here, and because they're not close enough to the shepherd. Psalm 37:25, this is what it says. I have been young. We all can say that. And now I'm old. Some of us can say that. And here, listen to what the rest of it says. Yet, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So if you're close enough to the shepherd where he can hold your hand and keep you from stubbing your toe, and you're listening to him and he's going slow enough, we're not going to be hungry. We're not going to be thirsty, because he says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're going to have it. And you'll never thirst again. You'll not be hungry. Why? He's going to take care of you. So we see here, as we plan our days, we might stagger and into an unknown problem or try to deal with it ourselves. But if we can just stay close to the shepherd, he can handle it. He sees it. Nothing catches him by surprise. So God leads to still waters. And we'll finish up about the water. He leads to still waters. Now, we see, I'm going to give you a couple of examples here, that God knows about all the other waters. Okay, but He likes to lead us to that still water. It's not making any sound. It's not making any ripples. And so basically you can drink it and hear the enemy if it's coming. You can drink it and it'll be satisfying, things like that. But we see that God, He's not just at the still water. If you go all the way back to Genesis, God was in the middle of the parted waters. And that's what he said, you know, there's the Red Sea, Moses, lead the people. There's Pharaoh's army. They're coming wide open. All right, but they were looking at the shepherd. Lead us. What do we do? Raise up your rod, Moses. He did. Whew. All right, so God is, you know, he's not just dealing with still waters. He's dealing with parted waters. Here's another one. He's not dealing with just the still waters. He's dealing with those storm-filled waters. And what did he tell Paul? Hey, don't worry about it. You just keep your eyes on the shepherd. And you're all going to make it. And they did. Some on broken pieces, the Bible said. They found a portion of the wreckage, or they found somebody's luggage, and they all grabbed a hold and they all made it safely. Why? Because God took care of them even in the storm-filled waters. Here's another one. He took care of Peter on top of the water. Hey, if that's you, bid me come. Come on. And man, he went out there and he was risk. And what did he start doing? He took his eyes off the author and the finisher. He took his eyes off the shepherd. And what did he start looking at? Man, these waves are getting a little crazy. That wind is. But if he kept his eyes on the shepherd, he did. He put them back on there and they walked together back in the boat. So we see here that the in common, the still waters that satisfied the sheep, God was there. Moses and the children of Israel walking across on dry ground in between the parted waters. God was there. Paul and any other storm you can look at in the Bible, God was there. Peter walking on top of the water, God was there. So Peter began to sink when he took his eyes off the shepherd. All he had to do was put them right back on him, and he got him by the hand and they walked back. So Jesus is not asking us to walk on water. He's not asking us to follow Him through parted waters. He's not asking us to grab a hold of a broken piece in a storm-filled water. He's just saying, hey, follow me, and I'll lead you to still waters. So God makes the ocean and all its motion. Okay, He's the one that made them. And they're breathtaking. And again, I got to live down there for a long time, real close to them, things like that. And people would come down to Florida because they'd never seen the ocean. And I was like, you know, I see it all the time, and no big deal. But I mean, they're just like, I mean, because you can't see the other side of it. You can start swimming, you're not going to make it very far. It's huge. All right, God made that. And then there's that undertow, and there's that swoosh, swoosh of those waves coming in. God made that. And He made them huge and impressive. But then also, God made the waterfall in all its beauty. I've seen these trails, you know, hike up to such and such waterfall, you know, so many elevation or feet above elevation, and you know, it's only 5 miles. And you walk till you're about dead, and it says, you know, 3.5 miles left. And so you walk some more, and you get there, and you hear the rushing water, and you see the beauty coming down. God made that. Okay, He made that. So He made it with its rushing and its glorious sound. But He also made, some of you may have went to a pond somewhere that's lost movement, and it gets stagnant. And it gets all kinds of junk on it, and it starts smelling. All right? God made that too. So we see here He made things huge and impressive. He made things glorious and rushing. He made stuff stinking and dying. But He also made that cool, clear, clean water that's still, that's refreshing and satisfying. So we all live our hectic lives, but what we need to do is keep our eyes on the shepherd, let Him lead us to that still water. We all have, or some, most of us have kids that argue and fight. Not my kids. Okay. All right. But sometimes we just need that cool, clear water. Even better than a bubble bath. All right. Let God lead you to that cool, clear water. We all get caught in traffic, but let God lead us to that cool, clear water. We all have to show up and live life, but God can lead you to that cool, clear water. We're all going to face unexpected circumstances, but God can lead you to that cool, clear water. All of the rushing water of life eventually comes to rest. So that ocean, somewhere, it stops. That waterfall, somewhere, it stops. And so we see that God can lead us to that cool, clear water. It comes to rest. So we know in our hearts that the still water is what refreshes, restores, and renews. So, when we're hot and tired from that life journey, just keep your eyes on the shepherd. Let Him lead you to that cool, clear water. And when you take that sit, it'll be worth the wait and worth the walk. So when we follow the shepherd, we know next time that we're hot and thirsty, we won't worry about the distance. We don't even worry about the danger. We're just going to keep our eyes on Him and let Him lead us to that cool, clear water. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You for the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. And tonight, He leadeth me to that still water. And Lord, I just ask You to help us, Lord, to learn these principles, to keep our eyes on You. Lord, and that You know everything. Nothing's going to catch You by surprise. And if we'll just lift our hand up, You'll lead us. Keep us from tripping, slipping, dashing our foot against the stone. And Lord, I just ask You to help us, Lord, when You do try to bring us, Lord, help us to drink. Not have to be force-fed. Help us to drink. Lord, I just ask You to help us remember the satisfaction of it. In Jesus' name, amen.